Join me for our call to worship, number 119 in your hymnal. Let all who are thirsty come.
Let them drink the water that has no price.
Let all who are hungry come.
Let them eat the bread that has no cost.
All without money, come, buy and eat. Drink what is good, and delight in the Lord.
Now when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard, Jesus is making and baptizing more disciples than John, although it was not Jesus himself, but his disciples who baptized. He left Judea and started back to Galilee. But he had to go through Samaria. So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her,
"Give me a drink."
His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him,
"How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?"
Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her,
"If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water."
"Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well with his sons and his flocks drank from it?"
"Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life."
"Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water."
"Go call your husband and come back."
"I have no husband."
"You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true."
"Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem."
"Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth."
"I know that Messiah is coming,"
who is called Christ.
"When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us."
"I am he, the one who is speaking to you."
Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman. But no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people,
"Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?"
They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him,
"Rabbi, eat something."
But he said to them,
"I have food to eat that you do not know about."
So the disciples said to one another,
"Surely no one has brought something to eat."
Jesus said to them,
"My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest?' But I tell you, look around you and see, the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I send you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor."
Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony.
He told me everything I have ever done.
So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world."
It is truly a gift to again invite Willy Hugo Perez to come and share with us on our second day of Spiritual Life Week. His proclamation today is experiencing the healing and transforming grace of the gospel. So again, we welcome you, Willie, and may I have a word of prayer with you. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to stand and gather together here in this place. Let your spirit continue to flow so that we might drink deeply of what you would have us to hear and have us respond. May the meditations of our heart be pleasing to you, and may those things which Willie speaks be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. I think after this reading, I am a little thirsty. I need water. Well, I have to say that it was been a great experience for my wife and for me to be here these 2 days. Thank you very much for the opportunities of talking with several of you, of talking in several classes. I think it has been a very meaningful experience to talk with several students, with several professors during these days. And this is what I remember of this seminary, because I remember many things from here, and especially the kindness, the love, the friendship of the people in this community, and that was very important for me during the time in which I was studying at the EMS. And thank you very much to my professors who are present here, and also thank you very much for the students for this opportunity of talking with you. And I can say that during these 2 days, I have seen the face of God through you. And this is very important. And this brings a lot of hope for my life, because I can think, well, there are people in the seminary who are very committed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, people who are very committed to making a difference in the world. And this is very important for me, and this is a message that I can share with my brothers and sisters in Central America. And this is a really wonderful experience. I have one concern, and yesterday I was talking with Brother Kevin about that. I know that for you, time is very important. The time is very important. Sometimes we in Central America don't worry much about time. But I know that for you, this is very important. Therefore, yesterday, I was talking with Brother Kevin, and I told him, maybe I will need a little more minutes for the sermon, because for my English, it's difficult to finish in 25 minutes. But Kevin told me, don't worry, you can speak 2-3 hours. And then, if you have problems with that, you can talk with Kevin after that. Yeah. It's his responsibility. No. But thank you for your compassion with this. Well, today I want to share with you a message that it is very important for me. And it's related to the reading of the encounter with Jesus and the Samaritan woman. Because this story is very revealing for us in Central America. Through this story, many brothers and sisters have found guidelines for their pastoral and missionary work in Central America. Therefore, I want to share some things with you this morning. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes." Today, as well, the gospel is the power of God, and it is abundant life through faith in Christ. In the gospel, we find the path and the answers that bring health, liberation, restoration, a transformation to our suffering and broken land. For some time, I have felt that one text that expresses very well the role of the gospel in this spiritual time for Central America is the text that tells the story of the encounter between Jesus and the Samaritan woman. The text expresses in a clear and profound way the transforming power of the grace of God that has in situations of human conflict and suffering. In this text, we find lessons that can show us for our pastoral mission as a church facing the challenges of today. Jesus is on the road to Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. Why did Jesus pass through Samaria if the Jews rejected and disdained the Samaritans? A Jew preferred to find other routes in order to avoid stepping on Samaritan soil. But Jesus needed to pass through Samaria. Perhaps the need, rather than geographic in nature, is of another type. It is necessary for his messianic mission. For him, it is necessary to offer to Samaria his love and redeeming grace. And knocking down walls of dislike, discrimination, and exclusion, he encounters that land that was so disdained and so needy. Because the love of God and his saving grace is not only for one people. It is for Samaria, and it is for all of the peoples of the world. And the journey has been long and exhausting. He walked for many hours, and Jesus is tired and thirsty. And he sits on the well of Jacob. And his disciples go to the town for food. How revealing! Christ shows us a little bit of his human side. He is the Son of God who, in solidarity with our humanity, is capable of feeling hunger, thirst, and exhaustion. And as he sits on the well of Jacob, he is announcing the transcendent event that is to come to pass in that place. Because this is the substitution of the old for the new. The passing of the ancient tradition in favor of the new alliance. That well represents the law and the tradition from which many people have drawn for centuries. But Jesus Christ comes to take up the place of the old wellspring. He is the new well from which flows new life, abundant and eternal. And so it happens. Quiet, alone, with no more company than their heavy burdens, a woman draws near. She is the Samaritan. Why does she come to the well precisely in the heat part of the midday? Might she want to avoid the accusing looks of the other women who thinks ill of her because of her reputation? In any case, she went to the well in order to find water. And in this well, he finds Jesus. This is also the encounter of Jesus with Samaria, the disdain, the land that has been disdained. And Jesus opened the dialogue with a simple petition. Woman, give me something to drink. What amazing! God himself, out of his humanity in Christ, opened himself up to an encounter with the other person, and it interacts with her. The woman is surprised. How is that you? A Jew asks a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? How could she not be surprised if she surely knew that because of her history, the great cultural differences, her gender, and the general dislike, that there could never be any form of relationship between them? But she is not in the presence of just any Jew. She is before the Messiah. She is before Jesus Christ himself, who, overcoming all enmity, opens himself to dialogue and friendship with a woman who, in addition to being Samaritan, she has a bad reputation. And he even talks theology with her. And Jesus responds, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The Samaritan is intrigued by the audacity of this man. This man, who being a Jew and a teacher of the law, talks with her. "How is this possible?" "Sir," the woman says, "you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" And so the dialogue develops. It is an open and horizontal dialogue that flows in two directions. A dialogue in which there are petitions, questions, answers, new questions, and affirmations. In that dialogue, hidden and deep mysteries are revealed. Jesus tells here that there is water that is better than that from the well of Jacob, and that this water is greater than the old tradition that has been unable to satisfy human thirst. He affirms that it is living water that will quench her thirst forever. He tells her that is the new water, which only he is able to offer, to give. And step by step, Jesus reveals himself as he who can satisfy the thirst for the new and eternal life that overwhelms humanity. And the heart of the woman burns in her chest. It is the same fire that the disciples felt at Emmaus when they met and talked with Jesus. And she, who has spent her whole life trying to satisfy her thirst for love and life, asks Jesus for this fantastic water. She wants the living water to quench her this thirst forever, so that she will never again look in other wells. This woman personifies the thirst of Samaria and of all of the hungry and thirsty of all times. She incarnates the thirst suffered by many of my fellow countrymen in Central America. And in the face of the request made by this woman, Jesus offers his own extreme petition. "Go. Call your husband and come back." The woman feels her insides jump. Where does this strange request come from? Perhaps she thinks, "My life is private. You don't have right to stick your nose in my business." And she responds dryly, "I have no husband." And Jesus, the good shepherd, full of love, without reproach, says, "You are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had 5 husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband." And in this way, Jesus enters in the tragedy of this woman. And at the same time, he enters into the tragedy of Samaria, because this woman personifies the history of the Samaritan people. this Samaria distant from God, abandoned to other arms, so disdained and humiliated. This Samaria that has been unable to satisfy among its false faiths and loves its thirst for love and for God. And the conversation takes an interesting turn. Surprised, she exclaims, "Sir, I can see that you are a prophet. Tell me, where should we worship God?" Does she want to redirect the conversation away from the shameful topic of before? Or is it a question that comes out of her need? Perhaps she, who has not found true love in other arms, now feels that her heart sounds for a new reason. And she asks herself how she can remedy the situation that so distances her from true love. Again, in the question we see reflected the history and the tragedy of the Samaritan people. And Jesus talks about a radical change. He tells her that the true worship is a worship that is not limited to by religious frameworks and formulas, but rather that it is brought to fruition in the spirit and in truth. The true worship is that which is born in the new heart and that is expressed with simplicity, transparency, authenticity, and in the whole of life. That is what unites us with the divine as one family, in intimacy and love. And something new moves within the heart of the woman. She is coming to conclusions. "I see that you are a prophet. Maybe you might be the Messiah." Encouraged by what she is experiencing, she tells him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, and that when he comes, he will explain everything to us." This is a reflection of the hope with which she and her people have clothed themselves in their affliction and solitude. It reminds me of the hope that our lands have despite of many difficult circumstances. And also, in this expression, there is a suggestion, as if she dares not ask directly, "Are you the Messiah we have been waiting for?" There is respect and humility in her words. She does not feel worthy of talking with the Messiah. She feels not worthy of sharing with the Messiah. But God reveals himself also to the small, to the simple, to the disregarded, to the disdain of the world. And Jesus Christ, with profound conviction, says to her, "I who speak to you am he." What a revelation! The mystery of God revealing itself to humanity. He is Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God with us. The woman can't take anymore. She rejoices and celebrates with emotion, and she leaves her jar and with it all of the past, the love, and the tradition. And she runs in a hurry to the tomb to share the good news with her fellow Samaritans. She has found the living water that she sought. She has seen the Messiah. She has become her messenger, the messenger of the good news of the gospel. And as she arrived to the tomb, she said to them, "Come, look, I have found someone who has told me all that I have done." And without reproach, "He has revealed so much to me. Is he not the Messiah?" And then the woman shares this good news with the Samaritan people because she wants that they can come to Jesus Christ, to discover Jesus Christ by themselves. And the disciples return. They are very surprised because of the attitude of Jesus. They have a hard time understanding who is that the teacher is talking with a woman. And a woman who is Samaritan. And a woman who has a very bad reputation. Disconcerted, they offer him food. But Jesus does not want to eat. His true hunger can only be satisfied with a better food. That which satisfies the hunger of the one who desires to do the will of God. He explains to them that this is a time of mission, that the fields are ready to be harvested. He urged them to share the good news in the world that, like Samaria, is so very thirsty. And the disciples' eyes will be open to a new reality. They will understand that Jesus' project goes beyond of racial and other prejudices. The Jesus project goes beyond religious exclusivity. His is an offer of love and salvation that is far more generous and inclusive than we humans often suppose. The project of Jesus is for all people, for all of the peoples. And these Samaritans come running to meet Jesus, and they marvel of his wisdom, his character, and love, and they ask Jesus to stay with them. And this request reminds me one of the requests made by the disciples at Emmaus, stay with us. The Samaritans ask, because your message and your words do us well. What a contrast. The Messiah is rejected by his own people, but he is sought after and invited to stay among those who live on the margins. And Jesus stays with them for 2 days. And many were touched and transformed by his grace, his message, and his love. And they said to the woman, "We do not longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man is the Savior of the world." Like the Samaritan of this story, many people today wander thirsty among the lands of Central America and throughout the world. Many seem like shadows, weakened by the sufferings and heavy burdens of their life. Desperation, sadness, and frustration can be read in their lives. Some drag their feet to any old well in search of a little bit of water to mitigate their thirst. Others have lost all hope of finding a living well in the deserts of their lives. In this challenging reality, the church is charged with the mission of sharing the gospel in all of its power. We are called to do so in response to the profound love that Jesus has shown us. And we should do it following the example of Jesus. That is why stories such as this of Jesus with the Samaritan woman are so educational for us. So inspiring for us. This story encourages and guides us in our mission and pastoral work. Let us look a little bit at some of the aspects that orient us in Central America. First, the margins, the periphery, are special places where God reveals himself and his power and transforming love act. Jesus left Judea to encounter Samaria, the disdained land. Many times, We wish to go toward that which is secure. But the gospel invites us to appreciate the possibilities that are open in the marginal, in the insecure places, far from the center. It invites us to locate ourselves beyond the places of comfort, so that we can embrace in the love of Christ those who are strangers to us, those who are disdained in the world. Second, the places and situations of conflict and suffering can become opportunities for transformation, opportunities for renewal and healing, places of encounter with the healing and restoring grace of God. Besides the well of Jacob, in a situation of tragedy and suffering, the Samaritan woman, thirsty for love and for life, was able to find healing, the healing love of Jesus. She recognized the Messiah in the stranger. That transformed her life forever. Our hearts are transformed and nurtured with new life when we welcome Jesus and offer him a place within our beings. Third, the gospel is a message that is shared in all times, in all places. And also it is a message that involves all of our life. There are not program moments for evangelizations. There are not special places for evangelizations. We evangelize even when there is thirst. Jesus Christ preached in the street, in the plaza, on the mountains, in homes, around tables, and by the well of Jacob. His evangelization was characterized by the naturalness of his message. On the road, he shared profound and transforming messages. The gospel is shared through words, acts, and whole lives. In Christ, the strength of faith, integrity of character, and wisdom come together. I remember that one of the fathers of the church said, "Preach the gospel everywhere. Preach the gospel everywhere. And if it is necessary, use words." It means that we need to preach the gospel with our entire life, with our style of life. And four, communicating the gospel is like a two-way street. It is an experience of encounter, dialogue, and human interaction. When Jesus shared the good news of his liberating message, he did it by prioritizing an open dialogue. This is seen in his encounter with the Samaritan woman, as well as on other occasions. Jesus spoke and stopped speaking. He listened and he was listened to. He questioned and he was questioned. He taught and he was taught. And his dialogues were characterized by propositions, not by impositions. Because faith should never impose itself on people. It is a proposal of life. Also, in his dialogues, he combined talking and listening in the context of compassion and love for the person. In our context, it is so important to know how to hear the needs, fears, anguishes of people. It is the road to healing and transformation. And five, Jesus combined the strength of his convictions with the depth of his love. In his dialogue with this woman, he sees the tragedy of her personal life. And through her, he sees the tragedy of Samaria. He feels compassion for the woman and for her people. And in the face of this, he offers a better water, the water of life. He suggests to her a true worship that is without limits. And he affirms that he is the awaited Messiah. As we read about the desperate and discouraging realities in Central America, there are followers of Jesus Christ who have understood the need to practice the love and compassion of God with people. Together with this, they have come to understand the significance of offering and suggesting the redemption, healing, liberation, and transformation that are the fruits of the gospel in the face of the human tragedy and pain. And six, the gospel is the transforming grace of God in all places and in the midst of the human tragedies and conflicts. The encounter with Jesus has transformative effects on the woman, on her fellow Samaritans, and also on the disciples of Jesus. This encounter brings changes in the life of the woman. She satisfies her thirst. She finds living water, and she begins a new life. In addition, through her new experience, she has become a proclaimer of the good news of the gospel. She becomes a messenger of the good news of Jesus Christ. Second, changes in the lives of the Samaritan people. The disdained people of Samaria discover the Messiah, discover Jesus Christ, and they are touched by his love and his transforming grace, and they find themselves included in the project of God. Many believe and become followers of Jesus Christ. That day, the salvation of Jesus Christ came to Samaria. And third, changes in the life of the disciples. Their vision of Jesus' mission is nurtured and expanded. Step by step, the disciples understand that the good news is not limited to the Jewish people. The gospel message goes beyond borders. It embraces all of the humanity. And they are challenged to tear down all walls of enmity, all cultural and religious divisions, because the gospel of Jesus Christ is for all of people around the world. In this way, the disciples of Jesus Christ are transformed. This story, it's beautiful and fascinating. It illustrates for us the grace that the gospel brings to the life of a human being in his or her context. The way in which Jesus interacts and talks with the woman is to be admired for its naturalness. We are challenged by its openness, and we are surprised by its transformative power. Overcoming the walls that divide and exclude, Jesus goes toward the encounter with the needy. He talks and relates with them. He feels the tragedy and human suffering, and he offers them living water and new life. This then brings them healing, bliss, blessing, and restoration in their lives. Today, Jesus is present in Central America. He continues offering his love and living water to all who are thirsty, afflicted, and needy in our lands. There are many who, hearing his message, drink for the living water, and so they begin to discover a new reality. They begin to experience blessing and new life. Jesus continues to be present among his followers who, inspired by his love, take the risk of becoming themselves a Christ for other people, a messengers of the gospel for other people. Jesus is revealed through those who move toward an encounter with the needy to share the blessings of the gospel. Their testimony gives meaning and hope to the life in situations of conflict and suffering. Sisters and brothers, today, the church is called to strengthen its mission in the open fields of our lands. It should put into action all of its energy and resources to mock within the overwhelming reality that surrounds us. The church should come close to the people, dialogue with the needy, read the reality, walk with them, and share with them the gospel of love in all of its essence and vitality. The church should encourage them to discover that beyond the violence, the afflictions, and the desperate situation, there is another reality. It should help to bring them healing, new life, peace, justice, and blessings. In this way, the church will come to be healing, reconciling, and transforming presence in the world today. And in Central America, we ask the Lord that He allow us to delight in His grace and to do His will today and forever. In this way, this story of the encounter of Jesus and the Samaritan woman, it is very important for us in Central America. And in this way, this story, as other stories, have been very important for teaching us what is the process, what is the way for working with people, for sharing the good news of God with people, for living with people in the midst of all of the situations that are affecting them in this difficult reality in which we live today. And in this way, I think that many women and men in Central America are making a difference in our lands. They are sharing the gospel in this way with other people, and this is bringing healing, restoration, transformation for many people in Central America. Thank you very much, and may God bless you today.
Bless you, Willie, for sharing those words of challenge and grace. So we've listened to Willie. What are you thirsty for? How is a spirit welling up within you, living water? Who are those that you know that are very thirsty, looking for something beyond the reality, the challenging or overwhelming reality, as Willie put it? Faithful God, by water and the Spirit, you bring us from bondage to freedom, from darkness to light, from death to life. By your Spirit, keep far from us the spirit of fear and grant us courage, which you give to all who know your love, your grace. That by the power of the Spirit, make us true daughters and sons of that grace and faithful witnesses to the glory of your gospel through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Provide for us that living water. Amen.